Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, flower farmers, farmer florists, and my mom, the people that listen to this podcast. Welcome back to the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I hope that you guys are doing well, and I'm assuming that you are winding down on a whirlwind season. And the majority of my listeners I know are located in the US, but I do have some listeners in the Southern Hemisphere, in Australia and New Zealand, that I hear from. And so they're probably just getting started on their season. So hopefully you're not too burnt out or too exhausted. But today's episode is going to talk about the financial health of your business. And it might be the last thing that you want to think about, but this is the perfect time to think about it. I used to think that tax time was March or April, but the truth is it's a year-long process, and having strong financial health for your business and having a pulse on where things are at happens when you monitor things closely. And honestly, the first few years that I had my business, I could not tell you how much I made. I'm like, well, I don't know. I haven't done my books yet. I haven't figured it out. And even a quick glance at the bank account would be like, well, I don't know, because I don't know how many owner's draws I took. And I just had no idea how much I actually made until after I got it back from the accountant. And then honestly, typically it was a loss on my taxes because of depreciation and everything. And once you realize that you need to run your business as a business, things just feel a lot lighter. It helped give me clarity on what things needed to change in the business in order to make this sustainable. In all reality, whether you are new to flower farming or a veteran, I hope that this episode will make sense to you to figure out where your business stands financially as you enter your final quarter. So let's talk about what the last few months have looked like for you. If you didn't plant tulips and you bought plugs, your season probably started in late April or May for most of you. However, I'm assuming that a lot of my listeners are still, you know, starting their seeds from trays, which is entirely fine. It's just then you have to look at things as your season began in February, if not January. And let's take some time to count back the hours that you spent on this season. So conservatively, let's say that you worked 3 hours a day, 6 days a week since February. That's around 670 hours spent on your business. Now, let's be real. You probably spent way more than 3 hours a day in the summer and in those peak times. So it probably averaged out closer to 5 hours a day, which is around 800 hours of work. So I want to know, where are you at financially? If you consistently took out a draw, paid yourself a salary, took out money as you went, then, you know, you probably know how much that amount is. But if after 8 months of hard work, it's time to take a peek at your bank account and see how much is left after allocating for all those expenses. And I want to know how you feel about where your finances stand. Now, I am not saying that everything is about money. I know that there is so much enjoyment when it comes to building a business and having your kids learn and see what it is like to run a business and instilling that work ethic. And for me, honestly, this is what got me to really switch my business around and start making some actual money, because I realized that when people were saying, oh, and this is so great, and you're building a business that your kids can take over. And I remember looking at that person and saying, oh my God, I don't want this for my kids. I don't want them to work 70 hours for barely minimum wage. Like, I don't want this. There's no way they can live, they will live in poverty their entire lives if this is what they do. I want so much more for them And I don't want them to work this hard. And then I wondered, well, why do I want it for myself? And so I knew that there had to be a way to build this business model rather than just throwing seeds in the ground and trying to sell what was growing as it went, which is why I developed Peddling Perishable Products, and I try to pre-sell the majority of my flowers. 70% are sold in the off season between subscriptions, nursing home sponsorships, and now weddings are still pre-sold. And I'm just trying to switch to where almost everything is pre-sold. Private parties, private groups, rather than just, you know, advertising when I have extra flowers. And so the predictability that comes with that is so important. And so right now we are just entering Q4 and waiting until tax season puts you at a disadvantage. So right now you still have time to get your receipts together, organize your records, and make a plan for upcoming year. When are you going to invest in bigger things? Does it make sense to do it this year, next year? And not to mention, having this clarity can influence decisions that you make in these final months of the year. Now, I don't want you to make a decision based on a ton of stress. However, this is the time that you're probably sitting back and saying, was this worth it? Am I going to do this again next year? And having a good financial pulse on everything and knowing exactly how much you made and how much time you spent doing it, maybe the sweet spot is to just sell 10 bouquets a week. If you really are just, you know, having a garden with some flowers in it anyway and just selling a few extra flowers, great. But as you start trying to scale up and plant things in volume and recipe plan and have subscriptions and have that stress of having flowers all the time, it's really important to get your finances in order. Now, starting next week, we are kicking off a 3-part mini series on ways I reduced burnout this year. And I won't say I avoided it altogether, but I would say far and away compared to last year. And that consisted of hiring the right amount of help, the right people for the right jobs. And honestly, the biggest one was crop planting. When I planted the right amount of the right kinds of flowers, we reduced so much waste that we spent deadheading, that we spent stressing about trying to sell extra flowers. We didn't have extra flowers. But for the first time last year, I think I spent $20,000 buying flowers from other farmers and other growers in the area that this year I didn't have to spend. So I reduced my expenses by 13% by growing more of certain flowers, but I also reduced my expenses by labor hours of not having to pay people to deadhead or doing it myself, and I could focus on other revenue generating streams. And it just overall went really well. So I'm excited for that mini series coming up. So if you don't already know this, it's time to schedule a meeting with your CPA. Do not wait until March or April to do this. You should do this in Q4. I typically meet in October, sometimes November, with my CPA, and we just itemize, you know, identify those deductions and just make sure that we're on track to avoid any surprises. So if you take my PPP course, Foundations of Peddling Perishable Products, I actually include a 70-minute video where my CPA and I review just financial details of running a flower farm and how we track it and understand exactly what you can deduct. And it's not about cheating the system. It's about knowing the law and using it to your advantage. It is about understanding what the rules are and then following them to the fullest. Okay. So it's not, you know, cheating the system and avoiding taxes. It's, hey, this is legally an expense, so I'm going to make this an expense. And I just want you to have a good idea of the financial health of your business. In the course at the very beginning, and if you don't want to take the course, that's fine. I'm giving you a little preview of what you can do. If you think you can do it on your own without me like really going into detail and explain it, by all means, go ahead. That's totally fine. Some people, a course is just not the right option for them. So what I want you to do is the first thing we do is figure out our revenue and goal setting. So first, you know, we envision that life that we want and we put a dollar sign to it, because unfortunately, life and everything takes money. So we figure out exactly how much money we want to make, and then we work within those margins. And so let's say that For easy math, I have $10,000 in my Sunny Mary Meadow checking account. So out of that $10,000, I know that a portion of that goes into a sinking fund every year to cover seeds, bulbs, and plugs. And then I also have an account for sales tax that gets drained to zero every quarter because it is not my money. So now with what is left over of that, I allocate my percentages. They're called TAPs, target allocated percentages. And I set aside, 30% of that for operating expenses. I set aside this percentage for my owner's salary. And it just really gives me clarity because when I log into the bank and I can see that I'm having a good month or a good couple months, if I have, and I try to keep 3 months of expenses in there. So if all of a sudden I know exactly what those expenses are, we walk you through, okay, let's figure out what you spend every year on this, what bills come out of there. I share with you guys what more or less personal bills I pay out of the business checking account and then how I decide to deduct them, such as my utilities, whatever. The business pays those, but I can't write off 100% of them because obviously I live here. And so then when I glance at the bank account, I don't say, oh my God, I have $10,000. Yeah, I can afford to sponsor this thing. Or, we really need this new tiller attachment, or we really need this, or we really need that. Yep, I have $10,000. No, I don't. That is not my money. A lot of it is sales tax. A lot of it is, I need that for payroll. I need it. I actually only have this amount. And so that's how those allocations really help me divide it up. So again, we go through all of that in detail in PPP, and then we cover it a lot in the private PPP podcast. But having a good pulse on how much you actually have and knowing what your expenses are is so important. So here is 10 tips for year-round tax planning for farmers. So first of all, every month, organize your receipts and documents. So set a monthly reminder and gather all of those receipts and expenses, and don't wait until the end of the year to track things because it can get so confusing. What I do is I have a folder in my Gmail account, my work email, and it's 2024. And I actually have a subfolder of, January, February, March, April, May, whatever, every month. And then I will move those folders into there. And then actually, my purse, one of the pockets of my purse, whenever I buy something that is work related or on the Sunny Mary Meadow card or on the Bloom and Grow card, or God forbid that I put it on my personal credit card and then I have to circle the item, that's where it gets messy, but I make sure I do that right away. And I just stick them in a pocket of my purse so that I know that, okay, now I have the receipts. And then at the end of every month, I take my bank is Magnify, it's a credit union. I take that statement, I take my PayPal statements, which is how people buy things online. And then my accountant, so she's actually technically a bookkeeper. So she's a CPA that does my taxes, but she also does my bookkeeping for me. So it's amazing. And so then I send her those statements and it takes her 1 hour to literally itemize everything. So every single month, everything is reconciled. All the income, all of the expenses are reconciled as the month goes. So I know exactly how much I spent, how much I made at the end of every month, and around the 10th of the next month, I review it all. I want you to track your miles or your farm-related travel because you can deduct travel from your farm to suppliers, markets, all of those things, and keep a log. Or as we talk about in the PPP course, you can just take a standard deduction on your vehicle. And there's a couple different ways of doing that. But just trying to keep track of not double dipping, you can't take the standard deduction and write off that tank of gas for your car. You have to do one or the other. So just knowing how you're going to do it and then continue doing it that way. I want you to categorize your expenses. So keep it clear for expenses such as equipment, labor, utilities, supplies, marketing, all of those things. Because when you file a Schedule F, you have to have them categorized. Again, we go over this in Foundations of PPP, but if you want to figure it out yourself, then go for it. Start Googling. Set aside money for taxes quarterly. I cannot stress this enough. Sales tax is not your money. That never belonged to you. You added it on. The customer paid it. Set it aside and the right percentage for revenue for taxes your quarter so you're not surprised by a big bill later. Right now, it's September 20th. My quarterly taxes will be due October 20th. I could log into QuickBooks right now and know exactly how much I owe for July, exactly how much I owe for August. And by October 1st or 2nd, I will know exactly how much I owe for September and I will pay it. It is so freeing to know that I don't have to spend 15, 20 hours every quarter to get this all together. Now, you might not have to pay quarterly sales tax. You might be on an annual plan depending on what state you live and depending on your revenue stream. But for me, it is quarterly. And as things grow and as things continue to expand, I'll probably end up being on the monthly plan, which is fine. As long as I just know that I need to do it, it actually, to me, the more frequent I have to do it, the more organized I am. The next thing, take advantage of depreciation. You can depreciate your farm equipment, your tools, your vehicles over time. Talk to your CPA about what qualifies and how to apply those deductions. Again, in that video, Abby goes over so much, not Abby podcast producer, Abby accountant, goes over exactly the things that I can deduct. Her husband is also a farmer that owns a lawn care company. And again, she's a CPA. So she really understands all of this. Taking a quick break from the episode to talk about QuickBooks. I used to use a payroll company because I W-2 my employees, because if you're in Minnesota, you know that you can't get away with just 1099-ing someone when they should be W-2 because of all the new sick and safe laws. So having an established payroll system in place is your best bet, and I do it all through QuickBooks. I used to pay this company like $70 a month, and I still had to send the amounts and the hours to them, and QuickBooks just does it for you. It would take me 10 minutes to send that email, and now it takes me 25 minutes total. I mean, there's my $70 a month that I used to pay this accounting firm. So the best part is my employees can handle all of it on their end, entering their personal information, like their social security number, their bank account, all of that, and I don't have to ever see it. So I cannot stress enough how great QuickBooks is if you need to do a payroll. So head to the episode notes, and you will get an exclusive 30% off for 6 months offer if you use my code. This is 20% off more than you will ever find on the regular website. So make sure you use my code. Thanks. So number six, we just got done talking about depreciation. Now number six is deductions. So seed costs, whatever those might be, you do have to make a decision if you're going to deduct them in the year it is sold or in the year that it is promised. And your CPA will know what that means, but basically you can't double dip on both years. Like you have to, once you start doing it one way, you can't say like, well, that's seeds for next year, so that's going under next year's deduction. Or you can say at the time of purchase, and that is what I end up doing. But again, that's a conversation with your CPA and deciding which one to do. Deducting your home office expenses. If you run your farm from your home or even partially manage it from a home office, you can deduct a portion of your mortgage, utilities, and more. So make sure that you track these accurately. I actually have two home offices. Literally, this room downstairs is like my podcast studio. So this is deducted on Bloom and Grow LLC because that's who owns the podcast. And the office upstairs is what I use for Sunny Mary Meadow. That's literally where Tina's office is. And the thing is, if I were to get audited, bring it on. Like this is, there's nothing in here that isn't work related. Honestly, like it is entirely legit, but you can write off a portion, a square footage of your home. Again, Abby talks about that in huge details. I am not a CPA. Talk to your CPA. You know, this is not a replacement for professional advice, but I also want you to keep an eye out on your charitable contributions. So if you donate flowers, make sure that you get an in-kind receipt from that 501c3 nonprofit. So make sure to track those donations for the value of what you donated. And these can be deductible if done correctly. So that is why it is important to understand industry standard pricing, because if you were to get audited and they'll say, how did you come up with that number? How did you come up with that value? Last year, I did a gala in Sioux Falls, South Dakota for my friend Ty, Earn the Gift. That was a $9,000 in-kind receipt because I did, oh man, I think it was like 130 centerpieces. And anyway, but I have like the actual math, like here's the supply, here's the goods, here's how many flowers were in it. I have photos of them. I can say, you know, industry standard is this times this. And, you know, here's my travel, whatever. No actual money was exchanged. I donated those. But it's proving that, nope, I didn't actually spend that much on my donation on the actual flowers themselves. But how do you deduct for labor? And it's proving that it's not just an hourly, like how long it would normally take it. It is an industry standard. And so if I were to ever get audited, I can prove that like, yep, that value is consistent with industry standard value. Next, I want you to review your profit and losses every single quarter. Don't wait until the end of the year to review them. So by reviewing them quarterly, you can make adjustments and spot potential issues before they become problems. So I know right now that my sales in May and June were way up this year compared to last year because I had my own peonies. But my sales in July compared to last year are down. And I'm not necessarily worried about them. And remember, all of my subscriptions are sold in October, November, December, sometimes February for Valentine's Day, but they're mostly sold in the fall ahead of time. So my July sales are what is happening in that month. It's not, those subscriptions are already pre-sold. They don't count as July sales. So my July sales this year was only like $8,000. And typically it's been like $12,000, $13,000 because that's what I try to average, you know, when it all comes out together. But it's a weird year. It's an election year. I think those one-off sales were down. There's other flower farmers in the area, which is totally fine. But my overall sales for the year are way up. And, you know, the weddings are canceling it out. And, you know, we added some kids classes. And all the details of that are in Foundations of PPP, which, by the way, if you have already paid for PPP, I did add a new module, Foundations of PPP. So make sure you go check that out. But again, it's just so that you can overall know that, okay, this stem bars were down, but UPIX were up, subscriptions were up, but this was down, and that's okay. And it's just monitoring the ways that you can, you know, stay progressive in your business, the ways that you can evolve in your business, because you're going to have to continue to evolve based on what your customers want. So now I want you to reflect on your business and your personal well-being. So now that we've talked about, you probably have a number in mind. Hopefully you have somewhat of a number in mind. Did you make $1,000? Did you make $5,000? Did you make $10,000? Let's be upfront. Are you happy with your business? And if you are, by all means, do not change a thing. But if you are exhausted and you are feeling stretched too thin, it is time to reevaluate. If you are contemplating whether or not you want to farm again next year, or even if you're questioning, you know, if it's worth devoting 10 hours a week to something that isn't bringing a return on your investment, I want you to consider scheduling a phone call with me. Like I said at the beginning of this episode, a few years ago, a customer told me, "What a great business. You can hand down to your kids someday." And I looked them in the eye and I was like, "Man, I hope not. I don't want to work this hard. I don't want them to work this hard for this little money." And it hit me so hard, because if I don't want my kids to take on this kind of work with so little return, why was I okay with doing it myself? I was taking away time from my children only to pour it into something that wasn't fulfilling. So if you're in the place where you're tired, overwhelming, you know, wondering if it's worth it, I do want to help you find clarity. And so that might mean adjusting your business, setting better boundaries, learning how to delegate, or maybe it's time to make a bigger change. So if you're trying to figure it out, you don't have to do it alone. So you can schedule a free consultation call with me and help you get on track. And I do offer one-to-one coaching if you need help, like really getting, you know, looking at where your expenses are. Because having that pre-call with me, I guarantee, is going to be a lot cheaper than having, well, the pre-call, the 15-minute consultation call for PPP is free, but I do offer one-to-one coaching. And I guarantee that that one-to-one call with me ahead of time, just trying to get a pulse on where things are at, is going to be a heck of a lot cheaper than paying an accountant for about 10 hours. And I do want you to evaluate where your finances are, and so that you can make better decisions about where to invest. Because if you're upgrading equipment, expanding your marketing, outsourcing certain tasks, you need knowledge to make those informed choices. So Q4 is not only a time to prepare for taxes, but also to plan for next year. So set those goals, review your profit margins, consider what changes you want to make to increase your efficiency and profitability. So tax time is not just in March, it's all year long. The sooner you start preparing, the smoother things will be when tax season comes around. So if you're feeling good about your financials and your business, I'm so happy for you. But if you're exhausted, overwhelmed, wondering if it's worth continuing, let's talk. I want you to have a business that not only makes money, but also brings you joy and fulfillment. So take control of your farm's financials. Reach out to me and schedule a call. See if PPP is right for you. And thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. If you found this helpful, please share it with your fellow farmers and don't forget to subscribe. And if you have any questions or topics you'd like me to cover in the future episodes, feel free to reach out within our Facebook group or send me an email to podcast@sunnymarymeadow.com. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website at flowerfarmerforum.com. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. sunnymarymeadow.com